This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
3CR 855am, 3CR digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR on demand, Out of the Pan with Sally. First broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks so much for your company. 3CR broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nations at the overlap of the Wurundjeri and Bunurong peoples. And we acknowledge any elders past, present and emerging, sorry. Hello to any Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, First Nations people tuning in, and acknowledge that this always will be, always was, always will be Aboriginal land. I'm Sally Goldner. I use the pronouns she and her, And Out of the Pan is a show covering, as we like to say, pansexual issues, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender or musical genre. Today, opening up with the Hoodoo Gurus from the Crank album, and You Open My Eyes. Brad Shepherd taking lead vocals on that one. Well, it's a busy time of year. Spring has sprung. We're hours away from the equinox, which is a nice balanced thing. So getting close to Libran season, if we're not technically there already, for those who love balance. And, well, lots of things happening later on in the show. I'll be talking about Celebrate Bisexuality Day as part of the week and month that that is. But, of course, on the arts front in Melbourne, the big happening is the Melbourne Fringe Festival, and I am joined live in the studio, old-fashioned communication styles, by Senior Programming Director Ollie Lawrence. Ollie, welcome to Out of the Pan. And first of all, I'll just check in if it's okay to ask with which pronouns you use, if any.
Yeah, hi, Sally. Thanks for having me. I use they, them pronouns.
Thank you so much for clarifying. And the thing is, I can't feel like I've had you on the show before, but you know, you've just so much, well, pretty much in the nicest way, part of the Fringe fabric now. I won't say the furniture, because unless you consent to be, no, let's not go there, about being sat on, but it's just Fringe seems to be just getting bigger and bolder and brighter every year. So much programming, so much diverse programming, and so much queer programming. Where do I start? Let's start. Do we know how many queer performers there are? Because I know Fringe is very diligent on collecting information about the backgrounds, intersectionalities of performers, cast and crew, so to speak, and all involved. Do we know what the how many people there are from the LGBTQIA plus communities involved this year?
I don't know how many individual artists we have yet. I'll know that after the festival, but I do know that we have 70 of our 500 shows that are specifically led by people who identify as trans or LGBTQIA. So a really large percentage of our program is created by bisexual, non-binary, trans people.
This, like the Hoodoo Gurus music to my ears. No, that is seriously awesome. And I mean, we know queer people, including the B and the T, are very, very creative and lateral thinking, combined maybe or maybe not with neurodivergence, all that sort of thing. And it's just such a joy to see, well, I'd say, you know, a higher proportion than what we usually think of for the whole population, which I think that says it. And that's, as you said, only the ones leading the show, so we don't know about everybody else, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's not even counting individual artists in shows. That's just people creating and leading the work.
Yeah, and, you know, that's artists and, you know, sort of people who might be volunteering and helping out backstage, all the fabulous sound technicians and lighting people and who make the shows all come together. I'm going to ask, how does that make you feel as a member of queer communities?
It's so good. It's so fantastic. It's one of the things that drew me to work at Melbourne Fringe, because I'd been independent producing and lighting designing and all sorts of things in the performing arts for quite a while. And, you know, while the arts is generally a more progressive and accepting space, there's not always these big, you know, sections of community carved out, but in Fringe Festival there certainly is, and I knew that it's somewhere where I could really make a difference and find employment that, you know, not only accepted me, but actually celebrated my identity. So it's been a real game changer.
Yeah, it must be cool to just go to work and just feel like, you know, you don't have to, we'll say, defend or be on the defensive, for lack of better words, about that.
Yeah, and I think it goes even one step further than that, and people actively seek out my opinion on how to make the program more diverse, and that's really fantastic.
Oh, like, excellent. That leads it perfectly into a good question. We'll keep drilling down. How do you, as part of Fringe, do that? I mean, it's great. You know, we need, obviously, to start by setting values, but then we've got to match the day-to-day behaviours, the strategy, the goals, the actions, all that sort of thing, how you operate in an organisation to those values. Tell us a bit about how Fringe does that, because I think that's really important. And, of course, there'll be broad principles, some for queer, but also, of course, a whole range of intersecting groups, acknowledging again our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, people with disabilities, neurodivergence, all those sorts of things. What's the broad principles? How do you put it into practice? And perhaps give some examples might be a good way to talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think at the very base level, it's through the makeup of the team and an employment there. You know, we've got a wide range of people actually working in the programming team, the production team, and making sure everyone's supported behind the scenes. And then one of the really impactful ways, I think, that we open up our program to more diverse and marginalized people is things like the Cash for Equity scheme. So our wonderful development team raise lots of money from philanthropic giving, from the government sources all over the place. And then we put that money into micro grant funds where we can cover small production expenses, waive the registration fee, all of these kind of barriers to participating in an arts festival that normally people would come up against, and that more commonly, you know, LGBTQIA people come up against. And we say, all right, if you don't have the funds to make this happen, come and speak to us. We've got your back.
Oh, which is awesome. So it's kind of like the government and the philanthropics via Fringe are paying it forward in a sense. I like that. Now, that's what a community sort of arts festival, I suppose, needs to be about. You know, I mean, Fringe is ultimately about the proverbial grassroots growing up from the soil and all that sort of thing. And so it's, you know, a really good thing. So there's sort of some of the broad principles, you know, sort of the term that gets used both, and I'm using this in a lay sense, although it does have a legal meaning as well, is sort of reasonable adjustments, I think is a nice way to put it. What are some of the things that you've done to make sure that those artists who have great art to contribute to Fringe can get in that, you know, perhaps, you know, might be, I don't know, that people might not think about or you haven't had to think about before? Any sort of standout ones come to mind?
I think one of the things that surprised me being behind the scenes this year versus, you know, being an artist and a producer in previous years is the artist services team that I'm part of. We comb through every event in our program when they're registered. We proof them, we read all about them, and often we'll reach out to the artists for clarity and for support around things. So this year particularly, we have some events in our curated program that are around trans family making, which is, you know, a really hot button topic in the culture wars at the moment. Mm-hmm. And we looked at all of the publicity and support that we're giving these events, and we went, all right, there's the possibility that all of this attention coming at the festival might make, you know, these sort of hate groups really draw more attention to other trans people in our program. And so this year we've reached out to even some of our really small trans shows that are in, you know, tiny little back cupboard kind of venues. And we've gone, hey, this is what's going on. Here's a resource with ways that you can keep yourself safe online, ways where you can get support. And also please, like, come and chat to us if you have any concerns. So instead of waiting for any of our artists to be in trouble or be targeted, we really took an active approach to going, like, hey, we're aware that the world sucks for trans people right now. What do you need? What can we do?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I mean, in an ideal world, we wouldn't have to do it. The reality is, as you just said, it's not ideal. It's far from it for trans people and queer people. And of course, well, you know, whether in Australia or other countries, it's obviously not great. So we may as well be proactive about it. Mm. And look, better, I suppose it's better safe than sorry, to use the old cliche, if plans are in place and they're not needed and everything's 100% smooth, hooray. But, you know, it's not a risk worth taking. Good stuff.
And I think also just the principle that if anyone is going up against this, it should be a organization that has resources and not the individual artists. You know, we went, hey, actually, Fringe as a company will go and bat for you. You're not on your own, because too often, you know, artists and trans people will be left to fight the battle, you know, in their own little small communities. And that's not fair.
Yep, no, really, really good that is happening. So that's a great example. I think it would be remiss of me if we're mentioning intersections. Yes, this is a queer show with 2 days away from Celebrate Bi Day, but let's try to use privilege. What's happening this year as well for Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander First Nations people in terms of Fringe? Let's, you know, talk about some of the background there and all some of the great shows that are happening as well.
Yeah, so Melbourne Fringe for quite a few years now has had our Deadly Fringe program, and that's another one of these ways in which the org didn't sit back and go, yeah, you know, we want to look after our Aboriginal artists, but we'll see what happens. They actively went, let's seek funding and let's employ Indigenous people in our org to take the reins on this because they know what's going best.
Absolutely.
So the wonderful Peter Duncan is our program manager specifically for Deadly Fringe and stewards through a massive program of commissioned works as well. So giving artists money to make a new show or a new exhibition for our program. One of those is a wonderful dance work called Ngamba this year mm-hmm. that I'm looking forward to seeing. We've also got a very exciting new project called Projections of a Current Future. That's a walking tour or a bike tour. There's two different days and you can choose how you like to move around that goes through the city following old waterways. And that's with Nawit Caroline Briggs, a wonderful Wurundjeri elder, and her niece, Amelia Briggs, doing the artwork. So it's a combination of this First Nations storytelling history and then like visual art with the projections.
Excellent. Oh, look, it's making my heart sing to hear, honestly, it is, or do stand up or something. I just a thought struck me before we come to some of the queer programming. I mean, do you get a chance to see, you said, you know, you're looking forward to a certain show, but do you get a chance to see much shows? Because you've still got a job to do and yet, you know, I'm not going to say the perks, the joy of seeing the results of all the effort.
Absolutely. And I'm probably just about to hit the busiest 3 weeks in my calendar. And it's very much a thing around me and my loved ones and my partners saying like, hey, you're actually not going to see me for about 3 weeks because I leave in the morning to go to the office and sort out all the emails and then finish up that day and go and see maybe two or three shows per night. It's definitely a big part of my role to make sure I'm out there seeing new work, connecting with artists in person, seeing how our venues are going. But I wish I could see it all. You know, there's just no humanly possible way to see 500 shows in 3 weeks, but I'm going to give it a red hot go.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You can't clone yourself, teleport, transport infrastructure hasn't got the tardeye going yet, so we can't do that. But, I mean, you know, look, it's a nice problem to have that you can't get to see all 500 shows, which is pretty cool. But let's get to the queer, guts of it all, substance. Throw some queer shows at me. It was so awesome to have Marnie Mills on the show last week. I mean, first ever festival show, solo show, which is awesome, exactly what Fringe is about. And I've got lots of great guests, thanks to Fringe, coming up in the next few weeks. Eddie Patterson, Lily Catastrophe, Charlie Wan, just to name a few. Who else have we just throw some others at me, pull them out of a random brain cell.
I love how many trans stand-ups you've mentioned there as well, because we really need more trans people in comedy. One of the shows that I am really excited for this year is by playwright Henry Kelly, whose premiere work was called Girl at the Bottom of a Well at La Mama, and that was about his sort of trans experience. This one's not necessarily about the trans experience, but I think will appeal to a lot of your listeners, and it's called We Make Friends with Karl Marx. And it's about a little sleepover of teenage girls summoning the spirit of Karl Marx through a Ouija board. And it seems really spooky, silly, fun and communist. And I love that. That's on from the 8th to the 19th at Festival Hub. We've also got some fantastic trans cabaret artists out there in the program. People like Florian Wild is really getting a lot of attention these days, and rightly so. They have a new show called Florian's Hoedown Showdown.
Whoa.
On at the Motley, which is a cowboy western variety extravaganza. Also teaming up with Eddie Patterson, who you mentioned before, and Han Arbuthnot, who's another trans comedian, to do a one-night-only club night at our very special club Fringes called, and this is where I need to hear it spoken out loud, I'm not sure if they want it pronounced Heartthrob or HRT Throb, but the joke there is that they are heartthrobs, they're a boy band, but HRT in there because they're all trans.
Well, it's yes, be great. A bit like Marnie's show last week, hot Hot Trans Summer, but it's HRT Trans Summer in the program. Yeah.
There's a fair few abbreviation shows this year that my dyslexia just does not quite know how to navigate and pronounce. But yeah, Heartthrob is going to be the boy band spectacular of your dreams, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And acknowledging your openness there in terms of diversity. Thank you for sharing that. Much appreciated. Yeah, look, you rattled off. That's I'm going to withdraw that. You know, came through with just so many names there that I'm, you know, again, you know, my sort of ears just prick up more and more and more. I've seen some of these people, and well, a hoedown showdown. The long suffering listeners of this show know one of two things, that they might have to put up with some country and western music. I'm not sure if I've got any today, but anyway, we'll work that out when it comes. Actually, there is, and it's part of my buy and pan themed songs for the month, so we'll get to that shortly. Be warned, listeners. As an older queer who, particularly for the B and the T, there wasn't that sort of visibility growing up, to think that there is so much now sort of streaming through, is very, very heartening. Actually, that leads to a question. Is there anything covering older people specifically, anything focused on that that rings a bell?
Oh, I'm sure there is, but I'm drawing a blank right now. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's all for sale on the Melbourne Fringe website, and people can go and have a little Google, because there's so much diversity in the program. I think people from so many different kinds of lived experiences are out there making art and telling their stories.
Yep. No, well, that's the thing. All right, well, God willing, we're all still here next year. Maybe there's a goal where you can help a wacky old trans, neurodivergent, whatever person put something together. Anyway, we'll work that out when the time comes. Just any other highlights, specific highlights, anything you want to talk about Fringe as we head into Fringe season in a week's time. You're here, you're the person. What are some other things that are happening with Fringe?
I think I'd really highlight just we have a diverse program in terms of our participants, but we also have a diverse program in terms of the genres and the kind of experiences that you might be after. So, while we have Melbourne Comedy Festival here, which is just such a big time of year, it's very comedy focused, whereas Fringe accepts all sorts. You can go see trans comedian Courtney Maldo, who's over from Perth and is wonderfully witty with her literary puns and her smarts. Ooh. Doing a show called Gender, Drugs and Rock and Roll. That one's on from the 15th to the 19th of October. And then you can go and see a contemporary dance work like Requiem by Lucy Edelson in the same week from the 14th to the 17th. And that's about, experiences of fertility and birth and is so complex and contemporary in the way it expresses that through movement. There's so many different kinds of experiences, from the very conventional, from sitting down and having someone tell you a story or jokes for an hour, to participatory works. We've got one of our big trans works in the program this year is called First Trimester by Krishna Issa, which is a work being brought over from the UK as part of the Passport program. And Krishna is a trans guy and his partner's also trans, and they're, starting to look at starting a family through IVF and sperm donation. So this is a participatory work where they're interviewing potential sperm donors live on stage. And we've ran this EOI program for people from all over to apply. They go through a little interview screening process before they get plopped on stage. And then it'll take place at Arts House, where there's these durational, day long, person after person conversations that Krishna's having around what makes a good father, what makes a good sperm donor, and trying to expand that conversation outside of just blonde hair, blue eyes, tall or whatever, to be around your values and how you walk through the world and queer ways of living and being. So you can go and sit there for hours and listen to these really engaging conversations. Or, you know, you can go to Hoedown Showdown and a hoop and holler as everyone boot scoots their socks off.
Well, absolutely so. And you've reminded me of another participatory event which came my way during the week, and I was just trying to find a reference to it and multitask while listening to you. And that was put on by the fabulous independent theatre company, The Rabble. I know the gist of it about giving birth, but I just can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, that's Unwoman, I believe.
That's it, yes.
Yeah, Unwoman the Protest, which is an expansion of their... the Unwoman work that they did last year or the year before. And this one has people of any gender and identity who have experiences of fertility and birth and parenthood engaging in this, you know, also durational kind of participatory event in which there's weaving of hair and all of these kind of experimental practices going on.
Yep. So that is definitely on. And, yeah, declaring interest that I was in a production for Fringe put on by The Rabble Two Fringes back in 2023. And that's always very, very, so I can speak from experience as to how well organised and inclusive that one will be as part of the whole caboodle. It's a joy. It really is. I mean, it contributes to just Melbourne as, I think, a great grassroots city, including grassroots art city. Wow. Last call. Anything else? I mean, we could sit here and go through to 1 o'clock and then cut into freedom of species or that sort of thing. But I'll just check in. Is there anything else that comes to mind?
There's so many shows is the thing I'll emphasise. So I really encourage people to jump on the Melbourne Fringe website and have a look for something that suits them. I would particularly highlight with the bisexual sort of angle to this show
yes.
that we've got a show called Gold Star Bisexual. That one's on at the Motley Bauhaus, and it's artist Steph Dogfoot talking about her personal experiences coming to terms with her bisexuality and coming out in Singapore. And I think Ooh. That one's going to be really interesting. And yeah, there's just so much work. And I think it's really encouraging and interesting to see how many people have different things to say. You know, there's no unified LGBTQIA experience. Some of these things are sad and they're heartbreaking, and some of them are joyful and fun and celebratory. And I think that really speaks to our community.
Yep. And yes, they're all very, very valid. So that's really, the thing to note, and they all can be shared, and we can all get, entertainment via the Fringe Festival and get, also just be informed and have our thoughts provoked and all that sort of in a nice way and that sort of thing, which is pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah. And hey, if you're a trans person who wants to come to a show where the rest of the audience is only trans people.
Oh, yes.
There's an event called T for T, a transgender showcase, which is now in its fourth year of Melbourne Fringe. And I do have to declare my conflict of interest here in that I'm one of the founders. But I've taken a step back this year because I'm busy with my job. But that's on the 2nd and the 4th of October at the ETU Ballroom, the biggest venue at Festival Hub. And that's always an absolutely electric experience. It's a lineup of all trans performers performing for an all trans audience, and often it's sold out by this time in the year, but they're doing two shows instead of just one this year, so there are still tickets available if you're trans and you want to go to that.
Sounds excellent. That's what we like to hear, as you say, particularly at the moment, to have that sort of visibility in a place where we can all be together. T4T, if you're looking for it on the website, Digit 4 Transgender Showcase. I love where it says cis people are allowed but not encouraged.
Yeah, look, legally we had to say they can come, but it's not for them.
Well, that's right. Look, I'll just put my tongue through my cheek and poke it out the other side. Some of my best friends are cis. I tolerate their lifestyle choices.
there is a sticker you can buy at the merch stand that says emotional support cis. You know, you can bring one along to the show if you feel like you need your emotional support cis to tag along. They can go.
That's very nice and inclusive. Those diversity policies working so well. Absolutely. No, look, seriously, it's just great that there are these things there. And, you know, any time, but as we said, particularly at the moment, it's just wonderful that that's the case. I can't think of anything more to add.
No. Thanks for having me, Sally. And everyone should get out and see some shows. Independent arts thrives on people engaging, and we don't have an art scene if we don't have an audience. So, yeah, get out there and see some work.
All right. Ollie, thanks heaps and heaps and heaps for coming in on a Sunday. I don't know what mix of caffeine or chamomile you'll need to get through 3 weeks, but I hope you find the one that works for you. Thank you so much. Well, for what you do for Fringe and Arts and for diversity, and wishing you and all at Fringe and all the artists a great festival. Chookers, as they say.
Yeah, see you out there.
Ollie Lawrence talking about Melbourne Fringe and great range of diverse shows of genres and backgrounds. In the meantime, I think we'll camp it up a bit with Gloria Gaynor. And no prizes for guessing which song this is. 3CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And saw your back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me. Oh, now go, walk out the door. Just turn around now, cause you're not
Pan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high quality, locally made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
disabled people are worth every bloody penny. I'm okay with spending money on the supports that we need.
There's more than 400,000 people who should be on the DSP, but are on JobSeeker instead.
I've got a life to live. I've got commitment. Like everybody else in society.
The only way to provide meaningful support is stronger grassroots movements. These institutions are never going to be our saviour.
If everyone was the same, it would be a born old world we live in.
We need to do a lot of work in this country around shifting community attitudes towards people that don't fit the white, able, straight, cisgendered person.
3CR. Stay tuned, stay radical.
That is us, 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. And thanks to Go Kindly sponsoring this program. Really appreciate their support. And yes, take that pillow quiz. And yeah, disability rights. Well, just before I move on with the program, seems like a serendipitous time. Had the first appointment for myself this week on the road to being officially diagnosed in terms of autism and ADHD. A psychologist sort of asking questions, pretty much the same as questionnaires I'd done before, but all went well, all that sort of thing. And psychiatrist booked in for 15 days away. Hopefully we'll be on the way. You know, sort of all going well. And I say that's not a question, that is a statement or, you know, sort of anything like that. It does seem to be heading in the right direction. But I do take on board what, that message just said, that I think that, I think we do tend to pathologize disabilities. And I'm going to say and neurodivergence. I mean, I don't, it's only society that sees neurodivergence as a disability or big inverted commas, a deficit. Of course, it's just at a minimum, it's neutral, and at most, it's a positive. It's a superpower. But I think that we do need to look at how we look at disabilities. I'm reminded of one of the posters we have here, quoting the fabulous, the late great Stella Young. Looking at a set of stairs dreaming won't turn it into a ramp, or words to that effect. So let's get out there and do it. But diversity is the thing. And yes, we are coming up to, celebrate Bisexuality Day, or celebrate Bi Day, which is Tuesday, the 23rd of September every year. There's never been absolute reason why that was chosen. Apparently, it was one of the organisers' birthdays. It was the anniversary of Freddie Mercury's birthday. Has been discussed. Roughly the equinox, which is nice and balanced. Who knows? But that's when it is, and there's all sorts of things happening. Says yours truly, a committee member of Bi+ Pride Victoria, which was the merger of Bisexual Alliance Victoria, with the message you just heard, and Melbourne Bi Network. And the events that we know about here in the Victorian area, the Melbourne Bi Discussion Group is on the fourth Tuesday, which happens to be Celebrate Bi Day, and it's looking to be a big one. Yours truly facilitating. It's online. Check Bi+ Pride Victoria on Instagram and Facebook, or look for the Eventbrite event, and you'll get a Zoom link on the Tuesday afternoon. Friday the 26th, on the public holiday, there's going to be bicycling on the main Yarra Trail in Melbourne. So for those who are able to do that, do that, and you can then join in at a cafe afterwards if you're not a cycling person, or perhaps can't get your bike up and down hills or whatever you need to do. And Tuesday the 30th of September, very excited about this one, Bi+ Pride Victoria, along with the Living Positive Victoria Bi+ group for HIV positive Bi+ people, are having a celebration dinner down at the Positive Living Centre at 6 p.m. So lots of events coming up to celebrate. So you've got an online one, an outdoorsy one, and a dinnery one. So that's all pretty cool. And one to note for your more distant diary is on the 8th of November, Castlemaine Pride will be having joining forces with Biplus Pride Vic to have a picnic in the Castlemaine Botanical Gardens. So we'll be out, buyers in the regional and rural areas. So that's pretty awesome as well. So at the bicycling, 9:30 till 12 on the next Friday, which is the public holiday, if you register, you'll get the details of the meeting point and the route. It'll be a moderate paced ride. You've got to have your own bike and helmet there. Lycra is optional, which is fair enough. In Melbourne, and you'll they'll gather from 9:30, set off 10, and arrive at the cafe around 11 or a little after. You can find out about that one. Living Positive Victoria's Bi++ group, that's 6 till 9 at the Positive Living Centre, 51 Commercial Road, South Yarra. It's free. How much would you expect to pay? Absolutely nothing. It's just going to be a relaxed social event where the two groups get together and celebrate the Biconic community. There'll be a light dinner with a range of dietary requirements, soft drinks but no alcohol. There'll be some light music as well. And, yes, Saturday, 8th of November, more details as they come to hand in the Castlemaine Botanical Gardens. So lots of bi stuff coming up. Great to have bi visibility and bi community and bi celebratories and all those sorts of things. Very awesome to have. So, great that these things are happening, and great to see that we are in Victoria. There's been plenty of support shown by the LGBTIQA+ Commissioner, Joe Ball, for this time of year for bi people, as Joe does for a whole range of diverse rainbow and diverse / intersecting communities. So that's pretty cool as well. Lots of bi stuff. That's kind of we like. Here's today's sneaky celebrate bi-month sort of track. This is a track by the bluegrass group that formed in the 1970s in America called Olden in the Way, from their album Olden in the Way, which was a live album. And you're going to say, how on earth does that connect to celebrate bi-week, Sally? Because here is a track from the album called Panama Red. 3CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally. Thank you.
listen to me and sing and tell sweet lies about when things get too confusing, honey. We're better off in bed, and I'll be searching all the joints in town for Panama Red.
Panama Red.
I don't know when I'll be back. They're moving.
Bisexual Alliance Victoria is a not-for-profit organisation dedicated to equality and justice for multigender attracted people, including bi, pan, regardless of label or no label at all, their partners and allies. Bisexual Alliance runs discussion groups in person and online. The group offers a safe and fun space to share your experiences, ask any questions regarding your sexual identity, and provide peer support. Bisexual Alliance is especially keen to hear from multigender attracted people in regional and rural Victoria. Donations of $2 or more to Bisexual Alliance are now tax deductible. For more information, visit our website at bi-alliance.org, email info@bi-alliance.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.
A 3CR supporter. I'm bisexual. You're listening to 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM. Visit the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au/podcast to hear the most recent recording from each show, or 3cr.org.au/streaming to listen live.
On demand, out of the pan with Sally. First broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. We just heard two tracks directly prior to the messages. We heard Broderick Smith from Crayon Angels and his version of Leonard Cohen's The Tower of Song. He's up there with lots of great singers now, Brod. We miss you. Thank you for all of your great art and contribution. And prior to that, we heard Panama Red from the album Olden in the Way, by Olden in the Way, a legendary, one of the biggest bluegrass selling bluegrass albums of all time from the early to mid-1970s. I thought it was a very obscure one that only a wacko like me had, and it turns out it's legendary because it is. A song called Panama Red, which, when I first heard that at about 7 or 8, little innocent me thought it was about an outlaw coming into town, and it turns out it's about a very strong strand of marijuana. Well, there you go. You grow up and learn things as you do. Things that you can learn about if you listen to Freedom of Species from 1 o'clock today on 3CR 855 AM digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR on demand. Betty and Trevor will be in talking about Australian dingoes adopting orphan dingoes and the environmental impact of the dingo fence. If I'd have known that, I would have, played a Brod Smith Dingoes track, but I didn't know that. So there you go. So make sure you tune in to Freedom of Species at 1. I'm not sure who's rotating in at 2 with some unusual music, but that's kind of what we do. Queering the Airs, the gang will be in at 3, Madison and Co., and Salaam Radio Show at 4. That is the huge lineup all throughout this afternoon, so you've got plenty of radio to which to listen. So make sure you stay tuned in to 3CR for all the radical radio that you can get. So much going on out there. Remember, as Ollie discussed, stay safe at the moment. Be careful with things. These are, challenging times, at risk of sounding cliched, but they are. They affect a lot of people. Trans and families and allies can be overwhelmed by it all. Unfortunately, some people feel more emboldened with some of the negativity that we are hearing and nonsense. And people seem, some people unfortunately will believe it. And it's a challenging act to sort of know who to cut out of your life and who to bring in and where to feel safe. You hear surprising things from surprising sources and it can come out of nowhere. So just be physically and psychologically careful out there. Over the next few weeks, lots of great guests are scheduled for the show, all from Fringe, as discussed with Ollie. Thanks again to Ollie for being on the show today. What a great person, doing so much great stuff as part of Fringe. And make sure that you tune in. Eddie Patterson is due in next week, amongst others. So there's lots of great things going on. And, lots of great wrestling. If you're after some fun Friday night, Peak Pro Wrestling is my community service announcement. And there it is. I got it in at four with 4 minutes to go. You thought I was going to miss out, didn't you? But we wouldn't do that. I'd better get out of here. Make way for Freedom of Species. Take it out today with Hunters and Collectors from the album What's a Few Men from many, many years ago. And Still Be Hanging Around. I hope I'm still hanging around to be with you on the show next week. Thanks for tuning in to Out of the Pan. I'm Sally Goldner. Catch you next week.
I'll still